I think I get it. Like, yeah. She was the first female serial killer, and they put a lot of, like, she didn't wear makeup, right?
I don't know if she was the first. You're presenting her like she's the Jackie Robinson of serial killers.
I think she was. I think that was it's just, the whole thing.
I wouldn't lead
right?
with that. Hello, and welcome to episode number 544 of the podcast. I'm your host, Sonks McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy or committed to educating you on things entertaining but do not matter.
To find out more about these fornicative pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. That sounds like there's going to be fornication on our website.
There's not. I mean, there used to be.
There used to right? be in the past when we got hacked. It's fine. So check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast, and we're on Twitter at PopcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking about Characters Who Probably Did It, Part 2.
But before we do that, have you ever thought, I would love to watch Knox and Jamie and Aaron make a supersized and visual podcast while I'm away from my regular life in a nice theater, drinking a delicious drink on a tiny trip away from my kids / job / dirty kitchen? Well, do we have the event for you? The Podcast Live is coming back in June for two shows. First, we will be in Dallas, Texas at Gilly's Dallas on Friday, June 21st. We will be entertaining you between inhaling all the Tex-Mex and yellow queso we can. And second, we'll be in Chicago the very next day at the Vic Theater on Saturday, June 22nd. We'll be entertaining you there while inhaling Chicago dogs and deep dish. And to be clear, this is not a Wednesday episode where we sit in cozy chairs on stage and phone it in like some podcasts do when they do live shows. This is more like 2 hours of controlled chaos and comedy while you sit with a room full of people that you don't have to explain what the podcast is. Tickets go on sale next week. BFOTS get first dibs on Monday, February 26th. Then FOTS, friends of the show, and subscribers to Note for the Audio get their chance on February 27th. And then the general public sale starts on Wednesday, February 28th. All sales begin at 10 a.m. Central Time. Visit knoxandjamie.com/live to get all the details and see our Gorgina artwork by BFOTS Julie Van Heusen. The link is in the show notes.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, Jamie, we are going to be talking about a very high-minded, lofty, kind of conceptual episode.
I like it when we do this.
But before we do that, can we check in with Aaron, get that voice check on what it sounds like right now?
Hey, everyone. Oh. It's better. It's better.
It is better. It is.
There's still some residual upward stuff there.
Yes.
You know,
I have been taking the internet's advice. I have a lot of people, vocal people.
Oh,
in my DMs that are helping me.
Have you considered a doctor? No.
No. Hey, by the way, Jamie got a haircut and she looks so cute.
That's exactly what she said to me when she have you gone to the doctor? Cute. And she was like, oh my God, your hair.
I've been steaming my voice. I've done ginger tea. I've done hot Dr. Pepper with a lemon.
Yeah.
I've done all sorts of teas. So I'm trending upward.
Yeah, okay. It is improving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like amateur vocal coaches reaching out and prompt just being like,
they're
hey, not, I've got
they're
some
professional. No, they're
and listen, she technically called
coaches.
Them vocal people, which could just be they're loud about things they're passionate about.
Sure.
That's true. So that's to be also fair.
Or just people who talk, people yeah, who people, can't talk.
People who have opinions about voices
yeah,
in my
right.
DMs. Yeah. No, they're professionals. So.
Aaron, when you interact with people and they're like, everything okay? Like, with their, like, how do you explain it? Do you just say I'm sick or like, do you have like an excuse?
I just say I had a sinus infection and I'm not sick anymore, but you know, my job is not conducive to vocal rest.
Okay.
That's what I say.
You should just start telling people like I'm dropping a new album. So I've been singing a lot. So I've really got to rest
okay,
and then you
yeah.
never have to drop.
Or drop an album. Yeah. Here, wait, let's
what
see.
If I did?
Yeah.
So we are, we're here to talk about characters who probably did it. And if you have been listening for a minute, you probably recognize this from last summer because we did do an episode, episode 515 called episode or characters who probably did it. It was a snake draft. And at the time that that episode was, I guess, conceptualized and executed, it seemed very reasonable to me, at least, that when people saw the title, they'd realize that we were talking about characters or people who looked like shady or suspicious or guilty. But instead, there was, frankly, a horny minority of our listeners who thought this was about characters who probably smashed. So we're going to nuance that today.
I do think that's generous to say that it was a horny minority. I do think the majority, and I think there's a comfort in that, that our audience, when they think of doing it, they don't think of murder.
Sure.
They think of sex. And
right.
I kind of am comforted by that. Like they're, you know, right? Wouldn't you rather them be doing it than doing it?
It's definitely a demographic of our listenership. That is for sure. You know.
So one of the comments we got on that episode post came from Kirby Daniel, who said, when I saw the title, I did think that it was, quote, characters who probably did it.
Yeah.
So no surprise of my slight disappointment as I listened and realized that wasn't the case. But also feel free to use that idea too. And so thank you, Kirby. We are using that idea.
Thank you for executive producing this episode today,
right.
Kirby. So we are going to do that. And I think to contextualize this conversation, so horny or non-horny listeners aren't displaced with understanding. Maybe we should acknowledge like a very entrenched trope when it comes to love and romance in pop culture, which is the will they, won't they trope, right?
That's right. So a trope, for those who don't know about a trope in pop culture refers to a storytelling convention that gets used often enough to be recognized. It could be a plot device. It could be a character archetype. For example, hot but doesn't know it. That's a very common trope. Cutting hair to convey trauma, which I think pairs nicely with the trope of staring in a bathroom mirror to convey self-reflection, both literally and figuratively. Will they or won't they? The trope is probably my kryptonite. It's the cherry on top of my favorite trope, which is enemies to lovers, it's my favorite. Murray Bauman, the character in Stranger Things, if you remember, Murray says, he talks about will they or won't they. He says,
who is Murray Bauman? Is that the monster?
What? No. In the last season, when they're stuck and they've gone to Alaska or wherever, because they're going, she's trying to get him from Russia, right? He's trying
okay.
from Russia.
Okay, I just Google searched Murray Bauman, and to be fair, the person who is Murray Bauman is exactly what the name sounds like. So
right.
that's my
yeah.
fault for not realizing.
Okay.
That.
Yeah. Well, his quote in the episode The Bite is, and now, rather than admit these feelings, you're dancing around one another with this mind-numbing and frankly boorish mating ritual. So please, for my sake, either quit your bickering or pull over, tear off these clothes, and get it over with already. So that's a will they or won't they vibe. Examples would be Jess and Nick on New Girl.
That's right.
Mulder and Scully,
mm-hmm.
Ross and Rachel. My favorite in a current show is Janine and Gregory on Abbott Elementary.
Okay. Yep.
Like,
yep.
I know. So I love this vibe, but I do want it. I want the deal done. I do not want it to stay a mystery forever.
Yeah. And go back to Murray Bauman. To be clear, he wasn't talking about the kids getting it on. He wasn't saying like, y'all
no.
should have sex.
Right.
He was talking about the consenting adults. Right?
Yeah. He was okay. talking about Sheriff Hopper.
Gotcha.
And
I just wanted to underline that, right? I just wanted to make sure.
Does that mean I can't talk about kids doing it in the main part of the episode? Because I have kids edition.
I don't want you to scrap all your content, but it could be a short episode. It's just what we're saying.
I am just saying I'm going to lose three of my best points. So we need to get on board.
I particularly love the hot and doesn't know it trope, because that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Because everybody who's hot knows it.
Yeah.
And everybody who's not hot also knows it. Like,
yeah.
I know I'm not hot. Like, am I a lovely woman? Yes. But sometimes I'm Charlize Theron in as Eileen Wuornos. I'm not always the queen in Snow White. Sure. You know what I mean?
So, Aaron, have you seen Monster, the Eileen Wuornos story? Feels like something right up your alley.
I think I get it. Like, yeah. She was the first female serial killer. And they put a lot of, like, she didn't wear makeup, right?
I don't know if she's the first. You're presenting her like she's the Jackie Robinson of serial killers.
I think she was. I think that was just the whole thing.
I wouldn't lead with that. I wouldn't be congratulations.
It was Lavinia. Lavinia. Google is telling me it's Lavinia Fisher, who was born in 1793.
Oh, okay.
She was the first female serial killer.
Eileen.
Yeah.
Charleston. Yeah. Shout out to Charleston.
I don't even know why we're talking about that. like the trope. I want to see a trope of, isn't hot but thinks they are, because I feel like that's probably most people. You know, that's a bigger subset.
I'm sorry, I hate to say this, but isn't that white men? No,
I wouldn't say that. That's probably exclusive to white men. I feel very confident in saying that. I feel like that's a universal kind of feeling across. Maybe that's the great unifier. Honestly, you know, that's what's going to bring us all together this year.
The delusion
that we all think
of it
we're
all
hotter than we are, and we're not.
Well, listen, I want people to be confident. So if you think you're hot, be hot.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
I think that's great. I really do think that's great. Truly,
your transitions are great.
Should I show you my notepad? I wrote, wow, that was great, Jamie. But luckily, what we're talking about isn't a trope. I don't even know if it's a good episode idea, but we are going to explore it. Mainly, we're going to look through the prism of fictional characters who did not get together, but we think that they should have gotten together. Jamie, when you're thinking about this idea and premise, do you have anyone that comes to mind?
Yeah, let's start with Kids Edition. Out of the gate, let's just pop the cherry. Here's the thing. It's it's the Wonder Years, Kevin and Winnie. Listen, the way that they ended up as just pen pals, and we were just supposed to accept that.
Bull crap.
That is bull crap. It's Winnie mother effing Cooper. Like, you're going to do everything, and you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, I'm Fred Savage. You're Kevin Arnold. You have got to, like, seize the day, my friend. This is Winnie Cooper. This is amazing. So for me, they didn't get together in the long haul, but they should have.
Can I ask a question here? Are you saying that they didn't get together because Fred Savage didn't want to? Is that the premise here?
No, I mean, I just think it was like they presented it as like in the end, they're like, well, we just stayed friends. Do you know that if I'm married to Kevin Arnold at 40, you don't get to be friends with Winnie Cooper? Like,
oh,
you don't get to be pen pals with Winnie Cooper.
100% no.
I just,
because I can look at her.
I think my experience with that show was always that he just got like really super hard friend zoned by Winnie Cooper in a gentle, elegant way that made it to where he didn't realize how friend zoned he got, and like he was okay with it.
I don't think he was okay with it. Like, I don't know him personally, but
sure. If you're still pen pals, you're okay with getting friend zoned. You know what I mean? Guys aren't like writing pen pal letters.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding?
You're holding out hope.
You are holding on to hope for a century, going, well, one of these days this will turn around, like for sure.
Her spouse might die. Yeah. What if her spouse dies?
Maybe,
that's what he's thinking.
Maybe we just disagree on the friend zone, because I feel like that's the fundamental premise is deep down, you know, it's not going to happen, but it's like the Dumb and Dumber. So you're telling me there's a chance, right?
Yeah.
I think in your heart of hearts, you realize. And honestly, I don't think Kevin Arnold should be with Winnie Cooper. You know what I mean?
I think I disagree. I wanted them together so badly. I think in the same way that you're like, there are people who are delusional who think they're hot and they're not. Yeah. There are also people who think if I just wait this out long enough and they'll wait till they divorce, it'll work out. And that feels like a Kevin Arnold vibe.
I think
honest.
You thinking Kevin Arnold should be with Winnie Cooper, I think you're propping up the patriarchy, honestly. You're the reason pastors have hot wives. I don't understand any world in which Kevin Arnold is equally hot and cool as Winnie Cooper. That's insane.
Oh,
that's
no, they're not. No, but he's a precious baby angel, and they were together all, like, they were friends. It just was a natural conclusion that they would end up in love and be together forever and have cute babies.
He loves her.
Winnie
he
Cooper doesn't get with a precious baby cherub-cheeked angel, okay?
Listen, Ashley got with a cherub-faced angel. Why can't?
I think you can say a lot of things about me. Cherub face is probably not one of those. You know, gap tooth guy. There's a lot of things you could say, but not angelic in any form or fashion. I'm going to say fictional characters that didn't get together but should have. I like me and Sebastian from La La Land. Because that whole movie is set up that they're both pursuing their dreams. And I just assumed they were going to get together at the end. I just assumed it was going to work out. And my favorite scene for that movie is when, because I like that she's seeing him in these terrible bands. And then he eventually gets in with John Legend. And it's that when they do start a fire, and it starts in Sebastian's playing his piano, right? Spotlight's on him. And Mia's in the crowd. She's like, he's living his dream. I'm so happy for him. And then like the big band kicks up and the background singers.
I don't know what your name is, but I like it. I've been thinking about some things I want to try.
And he looks at her and just shrugs his shoulder and like starts playing synth notes. Right. And it's just like the biggest sellout moment. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And he's just like, it's not much, but it's a living. And it reminds me, because that's what I felt like at the end of the Bachelor recaps, like when the Zach Shellcross season, I felt like Ryan Gosling just playing those synth notes, being like, it isn't much, but it pays the bills.
God, I forgot that we recapped Zach's season.
It was tough. But I think it's one of those, I'm glad they didn't get together because I respected the choice and it was the right choice.
Sure.
But it did. It just it felt like a kick to see the drummer from That Thing You Do cuck Sebastian at the end. That
what
was just something
chaos
I wasn't
is
ready
that?
For. You know, so. In terms of Aaron, I'm going to assume you are super familiar with Ryan Gosling's IMDb, like all of the movies. You've seen them all, definitely for sure.
Yeah.
If I gave both of you like, what's your favorite Gosling performance? And I said you can't pick Barbie. I'm going to take it out of the equation. Okay, just for recency bias, I'm going to say Nice Guys, Crazy Stupid Love, Notebook, La La Land, Remember the Titans, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Which of those are you like, that's the one I want the most?
Well, it doesn't include, the list does not include my favorite. So I will go of that list. I would say.
Mine's Crazy Stupid Love.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, I do like that. Mine is Drive, but I love him in Nice Guys. Nice Guys is so underrated.
What's your favorite part about Drive? Why you like Gosling in Drive?
Because I like that jacket he wears. Is it only physical? Is it only physical? I like his
Don't
vibe.
Don't objectify him, Jamie.
I shall.
He's an actor.
Yeah. I mean, but he's also
support
a cutie patootie.
That's only for the white men to do. You're not allowed to do that. That's ours exclusively.
Got it. Okay.
No,
good.
The right answer is the gray man. That's his best performance. But
Holy cow.
I just wanted to take that off the board. Okay. If Barbie had been in that mix, would both of you have picked him as Ken and Barbie?
Yes, I do love him and Barbie.
No, I would still pick Crazy Stupid Love.
I like it because it's the range. It's serious, attractive GQ guy, but then also he gets emotional. You know,
I know.
It opens up a little bit.
So
good
great.
Gosling stuff.
I know.
Aaron, when you think about this idea, fictional characters didn't get together but should have, do you have anybody that comes to mind for you?
I have one that is very near and dear to my heart, and this is Hermione Granger and Draco Malfoy.
Yes! Yes!
We all know that Ron should have never been able to breathe the same air as Hermione Granger.
That's exactly right.
He is a doofus, a lovable doofus, but they were friends. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all. This is not a person you build a life with. This is not a person who is going to be able to serve with Hermione Granger, the brightest witch of her age. This is a person who Hermione Granger is going to be winning Nobel Peace Prizes. Hermione Granger is going to be like the smartest person in the world, like building things and getting awards and all sorts of things. Ron does not belong in that equation.
Absolutely not.
But someone else does, and that is Draco Malfoy, who is also very smart. And does he have to atone for some things? He does. But
child trauma.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. He was a child. I just think there's a little bit of that between Emma and Tom anyway.
Yeah.
Also, maybe there is a little bit of fanfic that I might be slipping into this.
Okay. Somebody might have read the mortifying ordeal of being in love that I greenlit earlier
maybe
this year.
I did. Maybe
How many
I did.
Times have you read it?
Don't worry about it. None of your business. But they, I do think that they would make a much better couple than Hermione and Ron ever dreamed of making.
I just think they would have so much chemistry.
Oh, they have amazing chemistry. And listen, they've got that enemies to lovers thing. Like, she punched him once. He was such a jerk to her. And like, but she can like out math him and out science him and outwitch him, you know, in any day. Oh, it'd be great. It would be great. Give me the rom-com. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I do like the vision of Hermione's history that you described, Aaron, as building things and winning awards. I feel like that's exactly what I have envisioned for her too.
You know, like she's going to be like solving like world hunger.
Right.
You know, she's not going to be like having tiny Weasleys running around.
She's like, you want to play charades with our 15 kids? No, she's solving big problems, bro.
Thank you. Yeah, she's got business to handle. She's got a big, beautiful brain, okay?
Yeah.
And he's not going to respect that.
No.
Ron Weasley.
It does, because obviously, I guess, I don't know. I may be so bold as to suggest, like, this fan fiction is really considered this idea of the Draco Malfoy. I don't think it didn't seem like it had a lot of like cultural footing before the fan fiction, because I feel like Harry was always the one is like, that's who she should have ended up with. But I think the three of us even talked about that, is like, I don't know if that even works either, but it's better than Ron, but I don't know if that's the perfect alternative, you know?
I think Draco is the perfect
But I do agree. I do think Harry should have ended up with somebody else, because that chemistry with Ginny was non-existent.
Well, it's better in the book.
Oh, is it?
It's much better in the book.
Let's solve a couple problems.
Ginny's not like...
Let's go. Ginny and Ron. It's a magical world. Incest is cool or whatever. First cousin.
No,
I don't know. Whatever.
No.
We don't do that. Okay. I'm just talking a lot. No bad ideas.
This is not Game of Thrones.
The more I'm thinking about this Draco Hermione thing, I feel like, you know, we've got Harry Potter and then we've got the Cursed Child. I feel like if we had a little interlude, like Harry Potter, the college years, and that's when Draco and Hermione, like study abroad or something. And they're like, oh man, this guy, I know he tried to kill Dumbledore kind of, and probably Harry several times, but like, it's complicated.
He was forced to kill Dumbledore.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. He was forced.
It's like 50-50.
He was a child.
Him or his dad. Like, it wasn't him, you know?
He was trying to save his family.
Falsely accused assassin.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I feel like we could bridge that a little easier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
So I think that'd be nice. Okay. I've got one more in this genre of fictional characters that didn't get together, but I think should have. This one, before I say like who the coupling is, I want to talk about the character first, like the center point. It's Velma Dinkley from Scooby-Doo. Okay. Canonically, non-canonically, there's a lot of varieties of how people interpret, who Velma should have been with. Traditionally she's like shown in relationships in the comics, with dudes. Like, I didn't know she was with Shaggy at one point in like one version, and they even have a son. In one of the comics, she's with Johnny Bravo at one point, which blew my mind. But a lot of male traditional characters, nothing like substantial, right? I think in the 2010s, starting in the 2010s, there was some depictions where she was romantically interested in the ladies, and a character named Coco Diablo. I don't know who that is, but that's a sick name. Like,
God,
so
that name is so good.
It really is. So what I did find out, though, I was like, we can do better. And I was looking into it. And I was like, what's our latitude here, right? What are the boundaries? What are the guardrails? What can I work with here? And I found out that the Scooby-Doo cast belongs to a loosely shared universe. And it's called the Cartoon Reboot Universe. And it's a group of shows that have been rebooted into.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame, because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code PODCAST at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their mani and pedi systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
Like dark, gritty live action movies, right? Or TV shows, whatever. And that's why I think Velma Dinkley and Captain Planet should match up, because they do belong to the same universe. And for Velma, I always think, you know, she's been portrayed as like mousy or bookish, but really I feel like she's the heart of Mystery Incorporated. So I feel like it'd be awesome for her to be able to reference, like, I have this international boyfriend. Everyone's like, yeah, Velma, whatever. Is he from Canada? Is he like, you meet him at summer camp? Like, what is he like, even real? And then boom, Captain Planet shows up and it's like, whoa, it's freaking Captain Planet. I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah, because I think in the most current or the most recent iteration of Velma, like mm-hmm. played by Mindy Kaling, that she admits she has a crush on the blonde Fred? Guy. Fred, thank yeah. you. She has a crush on Fred. And I think when Captain Planet shows up, and he recycles and he cares about like keeping it all together. And Fred is just like, I use hair dye because adult blondes aren't real. Like,
yeah.
They have to dye their hair to stay that way.
Yeah.
And so I just like the idea that she would be like, you know what? I'm interested in this guy who cares about fossil fuels and
yeah.
is trying to figure out some stuff so that we can stay on this planet.
What's the carbon like footprint that. Of that ascot, Fred? Probably big, you know, Captain Planet over here. He has a much smaller carbon footprint. Was Captain Planet in like the sweet spot of your experience, Jamie? Like, did you get a lot of Captain Planet?
No, I stayed in Muppet Babies too long,
yeah.
like went too long
okay.
in Muppet Babies, and then went straight to Saved by the Bell. So
gotcha.
I didn't get any good, because I wasn't into, the only heroes that I was into were He-Man and She-Ra, and it was also because it felt like a lot of will they, won't they, and they did right. not
Yeah.
while I was 8 years old. And so I did not have a lot of Captain Planet.
That was a sharp curve.
Isn't he? Doesn't he have like an Avengers group? Isn't there like a whole group of people with Captain Planet?
Do you think? What do you think, Captain Planet? Like, what do you think the deal is? How do you think?
Oh wait, is that a whole group of people that's called Captain Planet? So is this like,
I don't know, what
Velma's
do you think?
Down to Orge?
Work
is that
out,
what's
man.
Happening?
Work it out.
I think Captain Planet is one person. It's a guy, and he comes from another planet that has died because of the use of gasoline.
Do you think that planet is called Planet? Gasoline. So he's like,
it could be Pluto. And he's like, Pluto gone, because they just kept driving them big ass trucks.
Yep. Yep.
And so I have come to America to save you from what happened to us on Jupiter.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's that. Is that right?
That's, you nailed it. Exactly. Word for word. Thank you. It almost feels like you're reading it. Yeah.
Is it a group of people?
Well, it's a group of, stay on trend with you for this episode. It's a group of children, that he influences, which look,
ew.
Aaron, I feel
they
like
have rings.
Yeah, it was.
And when their powers combine, they make Captain Planet.
Yeah.
They make a person.
Well, not like a baby.
Like, is it like multiple personality disorder?
Nope. This it's kids and it's like all the elements.
Let our powers combine. Wind, water, heart.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Is it like rubbing a genie's bottle?
Second you said rubbing, I knew it was going to go
wrong. Genie's in a bottle. Genie in a bottle? Don't Christina Aguilera me.
Christina Aguilera.
Because you're saying that when they put their rings together, a person appears. Like a genie.
Well, yeah, it's essentially, I mean, we disparaged you a little bit, but essentially it is like an ecological genie. I think that's fair.
Okay.
You know, but he does have a mullet. That's the important part.
How do they get rid of him? Like, if they don't want him to stay around?
Man, I don't know. No, everyone's obsessed with how to get Captain Planet. No one wants to know how to get rid of him, right?
Because like, he must be that great. They're like, no, come hang.
There's a really good Don Cheadle sketch. I don't know where he did it, but about Captain Planet and like how it goes a little weird, like it's not great, and he dresses up like Captain Planet. Maybe Indy can put that in the show notes, but I did see he has a mullet because it's supposed to be a symbolism of nature and forests, and I just thought Velma would appreciate that.
I thought it was more like business in the front dealing with Greta and climate change,
yeah,
party in the back,
right,
we also have a good time. Like,
I like that you put Greta and climate change together as though like they're working together. Like they did climate change.
Greta's doing it. She's they the ruined only person
Pluto
who can save us.
With the gas guzzlers. And now I'm here to say
save us. That's right.
But we'll go to our next topic here. Fictional characters who did get together, who were together, right? But
yes. We
think they shouldn't have got together. Jamie, what do you have?
Okay, I'm going to do one for the boomers and the Gen X. This one's just for you. And that is Sandy and Danny from Grease. What? A ridiculous situation that is.
So
talk about someone who was purity cultured before it was a thing, right? So we have a situation where they've met in the summer. They've had a summer fling. It's been amazing. They both come back from it, really having enjoyed their experience personally. But then he does what the jerk does in high school. And he's like, yeah, I hit that, like a tap that, whatever 70s language was. And then, so he insinuates that they had sex, and then spreads that rumor across the school while she's in her adorable little pony and her cute little pink A-line skirt. And he publicly humiliates her several times. He's only interested in her when she's dating the other blonde guy who's very hot, like very hot.
Very hot.
Right? And then she's to change everything about herself. What should have happened at the end is she should have done that. She should have put on them leggings and that leather jacket and gotten that big Gorgina hair. And then she should have like teased him and then kicked him in the nuts and like left him on that, like the crazy mirror ride, and just left him behind and been like, yeah, I'm hot now and I'm going to go get something better this summer. She's Australian. You're Australian and hot and blonde. You can have anything you want. That's what we've learned from Cate Blanchett. You can have anything you want. And you're choosing, Danny Zuko. He doesn't even like you. Not really. He just doesn't like that he can't have you. So they should not have ended up together.
I did look up some 70s slang for sex.
Oh, great.
The main one I saw was bawling, which I don't love. I don't like that at all.
God, that's just like
you need to be looking at 50s slang. I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I was Rizzo in Grease.
Oh, that's right. So it's set in the 50s. That's right. It's the movie came out in the 70s.
You may want to look at 50s
okay.
slang.
50s slang.
Just well, as a dramaturge, I might want to help you with that research.
Thank you, theater.
I appreciate you leading that. Us dramaturgically.
Thank you.
I was led to a Mental Floss article about sex slang terms across hundreds of years.
Oh.
And it's a fascinating read. I won't go through the whole thing, but there's one called Dance the Barnaby. There's
Dance the
Making
Barnaby.
Feet for Children's Stockings, which, ew, don't love it. And then Dance the Kipples. Dance the Kipples.
Making feet for children's stockings.
I guess in 1910, there was one called Get One's Ashes Hauled, which...
Oh, I'm actually into that. Like, that's a great, like, you want to haul my ashes? Like, that's good. That's
why we got into World War One. Honestly. It was just a translation misunderstanding. Let's see. I've got, I'm not going to say Jim and Pan because it's too obvious. I'm trying to be creative here.
Wait, I'm gonna go. You don't think they should have ended up together?
They were together, but they shouldn't have been together. That's obvious, right? We know
that. A hot take. That's a spicy flavor take.
I think the years since The Office has been kind to Karen Filippelli and not to Pam, you know? So I
agree. Karen was a delight. Like,
she moved for you, dog. She moved for you, you know? I don't know. God, it's tough. I'm going to say, I really like, so this one's complicated because they did get together and I liked it and it was like my favorite part. But I kind of stand in the show actually made the choice that they shouldn't have got together. So it kind of had our cake and eat it too. Got to eat it too a little bit. I'm going to say Fleabag and Hot Priest. Right. Because the only nuance I'll apply is like that, you know, the second season, the scenes, her breaking the fourth wall, him noticing her breaking the fourth wall and being like, what's this about? So, you know, like he saw her, like he understood her, like on a molecular level for the first time. I would have just wanted like, I don't know, two, maybe three scenes of them like together trying it out. And then they'd be like, they still end where they end, you know?
You mean trying out life together, not trying out the fun, because we got those scenes.
Broad application, however you want that to be, you know, whatever you need that to be.
Yeah.
I like the idea of just leaning into that a little bit more, giving us a little bit more of a sense of that chemistry and that connection.
You know, that last scene, it's heartbreaking, but I do think it was the right choice. Because like, there was something really like it was a great moment while we had it, and Fleabag's going to find love again, no doubt. And then he gets to love God. It worked out.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for everybody. Everybody wins. And again, just
she
like
got to tap that. She got to tap that real hard.
Yeah. See, so like it got to happen, but then ask for forgiveness or whatever. But like, just like La La Land, I like the choice. I appreciate it. It doesn't mean I'm not going to be a little bitty baby about it and just like want some other things just for my personal emotional well-being.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I would love, oh my gosh, seven seasons and a movie. Gosh.
Come on, let's do it. Aaron, anybody for you, fictional characters who did get together but you don't think should have?
Yes, I think that Mindy and Danny from The Mindy Project, nothing made me angrier than what they did to Danny after he and Mindy had baby Leo. Those first few seasons, Danny like is just rom-com perfection. And then they absolutely murdered Danny's character, turned him into an abusive, like gross patriarchal jerk that was such an a-hole to Mindy and just generally. And then they rushed a reunion between the two of them. It was such garbage. I will forever be angry about it. It infuriates me. Like it was just the perfect, like it was the perfect chemistry and they ruined it.
You know, because if you look at Danny, the guy that does that dance,
Christmasina doing that dance.
Scene compared to Danny in Readers at like a year later, like doing his Sudokus and you're like, what has happened?
What is
to you?
Going on?
Don't you disparage those readers because they came apart in the middle? Those were incredible. And Aaron shots fired at Sudoku and people playing games on their phone to keep their brain healthy.
I like Sudoku. It's fine. Sudoku. But like, they turned him into such a mean, like just petty little 1950s baby back B word.
Yeah.
And it just made me, it didn't make any sense. And I know they did it because he went off and shot other stuff. And he didn't want to be on the show anymore, but it just, it could have been, trash.
That's a show that now doing 6 to 8 episodes a season, 3 seasons, it'd be a delight.
It's one of those where it's like, it should have been 2 seasons. Yeah. No one was incentivized to do that though. The network wasn't, Mindy wasn't, the actors most of the time weren't. And so it just keeps going and then it turns into not even anything remotely resembling what it was originally. So you get weird developments like that.
Oh, that plane kiss. My gosh.
Oh, so good.
So good. It infuriates me. I'm so angry. I'm still mad about it.
It's tough. I think they were just keeping that alive for Ike Barinholtz. They're like, Ike's got it. He needs insurance.
He's got to have a job.
Ike is the reason that show failed.
Yeah, you may be right.
Jamie, what else you got on this one?
Okay, of course, and I think we can all agree, like, even our affection, even precious baby Maisie, Arya from Game of Thrones, who is now retelling us all about Twilight, because she says she watches the entire franchise once every 6 months, because that's how much she loves it. But she could even agree that Bella and Edward should not have been together. Mm. There are so many problems why Bella and Edward should not have been together. First of all, the just fact that they're not the same species. That's the first problem. They later become the same species just because there's no choice, right? But I think, and you could make an argument for, like, he has a pathological obsession with her, which is not healthy. That will result later in some protection orders being issued. I think also watching someone sleep for literally months to a year without them knowing, also not great.
Y'all not getting Netflix up there? Like, what's up? Like, is this the best entertainment you got?
I do not like that. If you read Midnight Sun, Aaron, have you read Midnight Sun?
No.
So Midnight Sun, Stephanie Meyer retold the first Twilight novel, but all from Edward's perspective, which I loved. And that's called Midnight Sun. And we'll put a link in the show notes so you can read it, because she made it available free online. It's also problematic because you get a lot more of his misogyny, because now you're like, oh, his mind isn't different than we think it might be. It's actually worse about how he feels about this teenager when he's 100 years old. So there's also like an age issue. You don't stay 17 when you look 17, but you live 100 years. Like, you have it. You just look young. It's not that you are young. And then, of course, the primary reason they should not have gotten together is Renesmee's face. And now you're going to have to be, because of y'all, you got that ugly baby that's now going to have to marry your ex-boyfriend, like, because it's imprinted on that werewolf. The whole thing is a cluster. It's not good.
I don't know if they ever discussed this or established this, and forgive me for not being familiar with the text, but do you think that in the world of Twilight, like, pop culture also has, like, True Blood? Like, they have like Dracula question. Or stuff like that? Or if it's like, we don't know what this is. Whoa.
Surely they have some source text.
Right?
You would think, like, so. Surely. Because I thought, why wouldn't he be up, like, binging True Blood instead of watching her sleep? There's any possibility that he could do besides watching her sleep that just makes more sense, to me, at least. Yeah. Vampire Diaries. Yeah. I don't know. Is that a show? Pretty Little Liars.
That
probably
is
loves
a
that.
Show.
He feels like, I'm kind of a liar about my humanity, so I'm really vibing with this mystery.
Rosalie from Twilight, the actress, is married to Ian Somerhalder from Vampire Diaries.
Really?
They're married and have cute, hot babies.
Good for them.
Not hot, like, sexy babies, although maybe they're sexy.
Yeah, you just meant temperature.
I'm going to look.
I don't know how they're parented, but.
How is Ian Somerhalder not in Twilight? He just looks so, vampirical. That it feels like it's a failure of his agent not to always
to be
have
fair,
him cooking.
Think about all the vampires in Twilight. Your hottest one is Michael Sheen? No. This is not a group. This is not a group. Like, really only, what's the bulky guy? Who was the bulky guy?
You're asking me, you're asking me to tell you this, and you know I know, but it's going to be shameful that I know, so I'm not going to tell you Kellan Lutz. I'm just going to.
Okay, thank you. Emmett was probably the only one that even sort of felt like, because, God, Alice, what a, also a problem. Like, her hair, you think in 100 years you haven't figured out how to do better hair? Y'all acting like this is 1999, it's 2010. This is so weird.
Listen, I know we talked about this, but they're big baseball fans. Like, they play baseball, like, as much as they can during lightning storms, because people, like, aren't around and the thunder covers up the bat. Like, why wouldn't he be, like, watching the Mariners and being like, man, I want to see what Ichiro's up to. You know,
well,
I don't know
you think it's because
is,
he's like, this is like watching Little League. Y'all aren't even any good. Like,
so I'll watch a girl sleep instead. I don't know. Even watching, I'll watch the Little League World Series. I could go yard on any of those pitchers, but I still watch it because it's entertaining. But I'm watching people sleep. It's insane. Okay. I'm going to wrap up here with, I've got some fictional characters who did get together, but shouldn't have. I'm going to say, Zac Efron with any of his love interests in any movie. Okay. They were together. Shouldn't have got together. Right. I'm not disparaging Zach. I'm just saying, let's just understand what this actually is. And I think instead, he should have got together with all of his male co-stars, because he has so much more chemistry with all of his male co-stars, right?
That is true.
And Neighbors, who's he have more chemistry with? Anybody or Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen.
Obviously.
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
The Greatest Showman.
Oh.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
I think in terms of chemistry between actors, it's The Greatest Showman with Jackman and Efron skip a bunch, The Notebook with Gosling and McAdams. It's not even close. They blow him off the screen, right? High School Music, Musical, his basketball team, I think he's got way more chemistry with those guys. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Adam Devine, way more chemistry.
Yes.
Baywatch, exactly right. The Rock. I think we're sleeping on, he might have the misdirected chemistry belt. You know, he might have taken it from Tom Cruise a few years ago. We just haven't acknowledged it yet because he just does not have, like, Tom Cruise famously does not have chemistry with female co-stars.
No.
Right. And in The More You Know, this week we talk about he's soft launching a very real, definite romance.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Man's girlfriend situation
and problematic on every level we talked about it,
but it's definitely real and normal for him. Don't worry, guys, nothing to see here. But let me give you guys a couple people who I think really have no chemistry with their traditional like love interests in movie. You tell me if anyone's better misdirected chemistry than Zac Efron. I mentioned Tom Cruise. I think Chris Pratt deserves to be discussed in this, right? Keanu Reeves, I think. Jennifer Lopez, The Rock. I think Jennifer Aniston. I think is David Schwimmer like an incredible actor? We just didn't realize it in retrospect, given how little chemistry she has with her love interests.
Yeah, I agree. Jennifer Aniston for sure, no chemistry. J Lo with George Clooney and Out of Sight, I might make a case for it, barely. Tom Cruise, no. Who else did you mention?
Chris Pratt with the Raptors from the Jurassic World with Rocket Raccoon.
Yes.
With Riggins from the Terminalist.
I do think Chris Pratt has good chemistry with Jennifer Lawrence in that god awful Passengers.
I don't know, man. I don't know. When
maybe
he wakes her up.
Well, maybe the issue is that Jennifer Lawrence has chemistry with everyone.
I think that's true. I think that's true. That's another movie of a guy watching a woman sleep and being like, this is normal. This is cool.
And is like, I'm going to wake her up. Which, by the way, don't do that.
Yeah.
Let her sleep. She just wants to sleep.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, Keanu Reeves. Yeah. Keanu Reeves is in there too.
Here's the thing. Keanu Reeves in Always Be My Baby.
Uh-huh.
It's very sexy. He's and in Speed with Sandra Bullock.
Or I forgot about Sandra. Speed. I forgot about Speed.
Or does Sandra Bullock have chemistry with everybody?
Oh,
man, I don't know. They all have chemistry with the bus.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. With adrenaline. Maybe the chemistry is with the adrenaline.
Oh, the bomb. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Keanu Reeves is like, he has good chemistry with Bill as Ted. And he has good chemistry with the puppy in like the first 30 seconds of John Wick. And that's pretty much it. Besides the bus.
That's true. That's true. You know, about Zac Efron, the Iron Claw, he has no chemistry with Lily James.
Yeah.
None. But all the chemistry with every man in the movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's a good thing. That's a fine thing.
But it's presented as like, no, he married her. He was in love with her. Well, you cannot tell.
Not a lot of evidence of that in the text, guys. I just don't know what to tell you. Okay. That is our conversation on characters who probably did it or characters who did it and probably shouldn't have done it. You know, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. KnoxGM.com/544. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week is Bryce Dallas Howard. Now, for those who don't know, she's an actress. She played Hilly in The Help. She was Claire in the second generation of Jurassic movies. She was Ivy in The Village. And to be fair, I do like Bryce Dallas Howard. She's in my, I like her like as a person for the most part. And she was in my top three episodes of Black Mirror, which is Nosedive. Like, yeah. I loved her episode. But here's the thing. She did an interview with Marie Forleo this weekend, which is like a business babe who just was like, give us your best like life advice and like tell us what you've learned and at like with from your grandmother. And so as a reminder, Bryce Dallas Howard is a famous multi-generation Nepo baby. Her grandparents were both actors. Her father is famed director Ron Howard, who was an actor from age like 5, and her godfather is literally Henry Winkler. Now, my favorite fun fact about the Howard family is that Ron Howard, all of his children, their middle name is where they were conceived. So Bryce Dallas Howard, he has twins, Jocelyn and Paige. Their middle name is Carlisle, both of them, because it was the Carlisle Hotel in New York City. And then my favorite one is the brother, Reed, whose middle name is Cross. And Ron Howard said, well, it's the street in London because Volvo isn't a very good middle name.
Bro, that's gross. Like, don't name a kid Texaco because you made a bad decision. That's absurd.
That's right. That's right. But in this interview, she is asked about perseverance. Okay. And I do love when people who have been wealthy since the day they came out of the womb talk about perseverance. I'm not saying that you can't be super wealthy and not have challenges. Of course you can. Maybe more so because you don't think you do and you do. But she says, my grandmother was saying, how many auditions do you think that you'll go on typically before booking a job? This was before she had a job. And so she said, I guess 10. And my grandmother said, no, it's 64. One in 64 auditions is the average. And she said, this was a clarifying moment for me to have an understanding of what the odds statistically were. I feel in creative businesses, there's so much romance. It's like this person did one thing and then they skyrocketed to just never ending success. These unicorn stories. Yes, unicorn stories. And knowing the statistics is so grounding. So then she goes on to share that she went on, it wasn't until her 48th audition. And she said, I got that job. And my agent then, who is still my agent today, we've worked together for 16 years. She later asked me, how did you not quit? And she said, I don't want to offend you with this question. I was really getting worried. Most actors quit long before you do. And I told her the story of my grandmother keeping me grounded. Here's what I want to say about that. First of all, most actors who book their first job don't have an agent. So already out of the gate, that's impressive that you had an agent. Your first book job is what gets you an agent. Then the next thing is Bryce Dallas Howard, her first four films, would you like to guess who they were directed by? For Ron Howard, maybe. So she's in Apollo 13, and they're small roles, but she's an adult in A Beautiful Mind. Like, she's an adult. And so don't reference unicorn stories as a Nepo baby if you were plucked out of a cloud by a stork and delivered to one of the most recognizable actors and directors of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, who has, count them, 41 Oscar nominations. Don't be like, you guys, you just have to persevere. It's easy to persevere when you don't have to worry about where your meals come from, or if you can afford to get your car repaired, or if you have to pay your rent. That's all I'm saying For all of the people, I know all of the actors listening who are Nepo Babies, we're a very popular podcast among them in the group text. And I just want to say, hey, stop it. Stop it.
I still think it's that's bad, but it's worse to name your kid like Dealey Plaza because you conceived them where Lee Harvey Oswald shot JFK. It's like, just stop.
You can't have sex at Dealey Plaza.
Just stop. Why would you do that? Why would you choose to memorialize for your child?
The crazy part is, why would you do it? And then why would you interview about it and tell that story over and over again? Plus also, at least with the others, Carlisle and Cross, at least it's vague. With Bryce, it's like, we did it all over Dallas. Like, yeah, all over.
Like Veterans Stadium. It's like, well, that has, I think I was conceived at a Philly Eagles game.
What if her name was Bryce Torchies Howard?
I don't like it.
So good.
Don't do that.
Okay, what's your red light?
My red light is, I'm going to say me, because I am in a state of consternation.
Don't get tricked, audience. Don't get tricked.
No, this is, I don't know what to do here. I don't, because I, you know, I had this like red light teed up of like, Jennifer Lopez, and this is me, now, you know, yeah. And like, it's a song, but it's also a movie and it's a musical. And I didn't know where to land on it because everything I'm looking at, right? Like all the circumstantial evidence suggests this is terrible, right? Like the description, this is me, now, colon, that's just too many. That's just too many periods in like too close of a proximity to each other.
Yeah.
A love story. It's like nothing you've ever seen from Jennifer Lopez. Alongside director Dave Myers, Jennifer has created a narrative-driven cinematic odyssey steeped in mythological storytelling and personal healing that's too much to contain in a movie. Dropping in tandem with her first studio album in a decade, this genre-bending Amazon original showcases her journey to love through her own eyes with fantastical costumes, breathtaking choreography, and star-studded cameos. This panorama is an introspective retrospective, my God, what, somebody shoot me in the face, of Jennifer's resilient heart. It also, on the the movie trailer, it says, from the heart, from the soul, from the dreams of Jennifer Lopez. Someone stop this woman. Derek Huff is in this movie, right? I watched the trailer. Did you see the trailer? Did you watch this, Jamie?
So I started watching it because I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch it. And I got about halfway through and I was like, this is almost decent.
Okay.
Like, it's weird. It's almost because you see what they thought they could do, something weird. It's like this Greek tragedy, drama, comedy. And you see the bones of something good, but there is no meat on the bones.
That's what I'm trying to figure out because, like, I'm just a simple guy. I watch the trailer. I make some deductions.
Yeah.
I look at who's involved, right? Derek Huff is a principal element of this movie. Red flag. There's a line reading to him where Jennifer Lopez, who's always talking to people with no expression or emotion, and she says, being with you feels like home, but I left home for a reason, that's a stupid thing to say. Don't do that. Okay. And then she also says, whenever someone asks me what I wanted to be when I grow up, and she says this to a guy, she's at therapy, or she's like at some kind of group therapy, and they're both getting like donuts and he's just trying to live his life. She says, whenever someone asks me what I wanted to be when I grew up, my answer was always the same: in love. And this, like, I thought there's no way this is good. So then I shimmy over to Rotten Tomatoes, and the score is 76% from the critics, 85% from the audience. So have I misinterpreted this trailer? Is this a conspiracy? Did the Dunk Kings juice up the score to make this look like it's better than it is? I just don't know what to think right now.
I do think that JLo fans were encouraged specifically to go and review this. Like, there was a, you know, which kudos to you. Use your fan base to get support. But critics, I think critics were just like, you know what? It's fine.
When you read some of the critical like blurbs, it's like, I don't know what this is, but it's a good day. So cool.
And for those who don't know, Rotten Tomatoes, the way that they decide if a review is rotten or fresh is just if it doesn't have a score in it, if they're like, well, the vibes are mostly positive.
Sure.
So it gets a score of a fresh, when sometimes it's like 2.5. I give it a 2.5 and they count that as fresh. So sometimes they're bloated. They're just a smidge bloated.
Yeah. A Metacritic gets a 61, which is still pretty decent. You know?
It is decent.
So look, I guess
it is visually, like, what he was doing visually, like, was really impressive. And there's so many parts, but listen, the best the best part of the whole movie is the Zodiac Council, because she goes to the Zodiac Council to be like, why do I keep making decisions like this? So I was like, oh, I'm into this. And that is where the majority of the cameos are. The best part is you can tell they were never in the same room filming it. Mm. So they're not reacting or interacting with each other. They're just delivering their lines. I would like, for the record, would you like to know who portrayed each of your signs, including mine? Would you like to know who was the Sagittarius?
Oh, this is tough, because this should be clown music, but I have a vested interest in hearing this. No, so selfishly, yeah. I kind of want to hear it.
Yes. So Jane Fonda was Sagittarius, and she killed it. She killed it. She was very good. She was very good. So congratulations. You got Jane Fonda.
Okay.
I was represented by the delightful Keke Palmer, which also feels very on brand for a Scorpio. Aaron, would you like to know who represented Aries?
Yes.
Jay Shetty.
Oh, no. No, that's too on brand.
Listen, I'm gonna be honest with you. The only way it could have been worse is if you were a Taurus. If you're listening and you were Taurus, please know you were represented by Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's way better than Jay Shetty.
I don't know anything about Jay Shetty. I don't know anything about him.
He has a podcast called On Purpose.
Okay.
And a lot of celebrities go on it.
I'm sure it's great.
And then he officiated J-Lo and Ben Affleck's wedding.
Okay.
And then
Are they married?
Aaron.
Again? Did they get married again?
No, they've only been married this time.
Oh, really? They're married right now?
Aaron.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know that. I thought they were just hanging out.
Aaron, yeah. Sometimes it is hard to take you serious. I'll be honest with you.
I know.
And that's what I mean.
Were they not married the first time?
No, they were only engaged the first time.
Yes, you're kidding.
They broke off the engagement.
When did they get married?
In 2022.
Really?
Yes.
I don't feel like there was anything.
She did a 6-part newsletter about it, like that went all over the internet.
That assumes I'm subscribed to J-Lo's newsletter.
No, I know,
this was not a newsletter-centric event. This was a global pop culture.
The cover of People.
I literally have no recollection of this. I'm going to go look at it right now.
I want you to go look at when they got married and what was going on in your personal calendar. And
okay,
was this like, I broke my arms playing pickleball? Was this a tuberculosis flame up? Like, what was going on? Because it doesn't bother me that you didn't realize they didn't get married originally.
July 2022. Okay, let's see what else.
But the fact that you did not know they were married now is stunning to me, honestly.
No, I know. And then my favorite was J-Lo herself. She does love the Zodiac. And my favorite is she's a Leo, and she's very connected to the fact that she's a Leo. So they're also talking about the fact that, like, who can she be with? And she's like, I can't be with a Pisces, which I love. But Leo was represented by, of course, Post Malone, which is pretty fantastic.
He literally
is like dressed like a lion. It's
so fantastic. Somehow I feel validated in my instinct being like, I would hate this movie. Based off what you just told me,
uh-huh, you would.
But also I think the world is wide enough for some people who are babies about their personal decisions and what informs those and motivates those somehow liking this, you know? So I guess I still red light myself, but with some nuance, I guess. Jamie, do you have a green light this week?
I do. I have two shows. And here's the best part, you guys, half hour episodes. Both of them are on Netflix. You just need that one streaming platform. So the first one is the Vince Staples Show. Good Lord. This was just presented to me on Netflix when I opened it, because I was going to watch my other green light. And when this was presented, I was like, oh, what is this? Let me look it up. It had great reviews. My Twitter had blown up about it. And so I was like, I'm going to watch it. So the Vince Staples Show stars Vince Staples, who is a rapper and now an actor. He created the show. It's executive produced by Kenya Barris, who did Blackish. And in the series, it's set in Long Beach, California. He plays himself as he maneuvers through satirical tales and situations. And y'all, this is the hardest I've laughed in a long time. Like, I mean this, because it's as if Atlanta and Barry had the weirdest but funniest baby. Because nothing is like grounded, but everything's chaotic. The robbery episode is, you can, although the jail episode is iconic. And the second episode is also, I texted a friend and was like, hey, I want you to watch this episode and just tell me what you think. And I immediately came back and she was like, holy cow, we've already blown all the way through it. Her and her like teenage boys had blown through it because it was so good. My favorite line is when the cops are, they have stopped him. This is not a spoiler. They stopped him and they said, I ran the plate. I think it's that guy from Abbott Elementary. And the other police officer go, who, the janitor? And he said, no, the rapper boyfriend, which is who Vince Staples was on Abbott Elementary. So it was perfect. And then my other favorite green light this week is the TV show One Day on Netflix. So it's, this is a perfect for this episode too, because it's a will they or won't they green light. One Day is a British TV series based on the 2009 novel by David Nichols of the same name. It was made into a movie in 2011 starring Anne Hathaway and Jim Sturgess, and it sucked. I hated it. I was so mad because I loved the book so much, but I think it was because it was meant to be a TV show the whole time, because this sucker is fantastic. So this is the story of Emma and Dexter. Emma is played by, Ambika Maud, and who is new to me. And then Dexter Mayhew is played by Leo Whittle, who is in season 2 of The White Lotus and now dates Megan Fahey in real life. And he is very hot, and he is a very sexy blonde British man who brings a lot of chemistry to this role. And each chapter, so One Day, it is based on one day in their lives each year, the same day, July 15th, and it covers their lives for 20 years. And every episode is, and they've kind of, in the book, it's 20 years. They've consolidated it to like 14 years in the show, but 30 minutes episodes. Their chemistry is a delight. You're going to fetal position from all the swooning you're going to do. It's so romantic. And in this format, what I love is that you get to experience more than just their coupledom or lack of, because there is a lot of will they, won't they. There's heartbreak, there's family, there's career ambitions. It's so well done. They're great in it. I loved it. Absolutely go watch it. You'll love it. It's a great adaptation.
My green light this week, this is it's a Netflix like pseudo doc, you know, it's that genre sweet spot I'm really liking, where it's a documentary, but it's not like a 8 episode that should have been 2. This is just like, I think it's a little over, I think it's like an hour, 15 or 20. And it's called BitConned. And this is a documentary about, three, I don't know how to say this, slick Florida dudes who look to exploit cryptocurrency in the cryptocurrency market from a few years back to scam millions of dollars, literally, from investors as a way to, I guess, finance their lifestyles, their choice of cars, and stuff like that. So it's not that dissimilar from other documentaries about just scam artists, con artists. The different aspect of this is it focuses about focuses on this guy, Ray Trapani, who really is there throughout the whole documentary, just commentating on what he did, how he did it, with a lot of honesty. But it reminded me a lot of BS High, of someone using something that's a little unregulated and ungoverned to do something for themselves and enrich their lifestyle. This is enriching lifestyles on a whole nother level, though. But the interesting part about this is where it ends isn't exactly where you would think it ends. And there's even a little meta scamming going on within the scam. So there's levels. It's like a nesting doll scams going on, which I thought was really interesting. But really quick, easy, breezy watch, and also a pretty recent history. So it wasn't that long ago that this stuff was happening, which I think gives it some relevancy. So BitConned on Netflix, I highly recommend.
All right. Congratulations to Netflix with all the green lights.
Good job, guys. You are a good business, evidently. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So you purchase your affiliate link for your item. Using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a Reese's peanut butter heart.
Good job. Here's the thing I'll say about Reese's peanut butter heart. They just look like scrotum.
Okay.
Oh.
It's not my preferred shape. I would never choose it. It's,
I think it is the best combination of chocolate and peanut butter, though. And
I do think that's the problem. It's just, so you got to keep it upright. You can't turn it over.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be disturbed by what you see.
That's like, true.
Every time. Especially, I'm going to be honest, the pink ones. Because they come in pink and brown.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the pink one, really, it has a vibe. It's not great. But this does have 2,000 global ratings, 4.7 stars. My favorite review was a 1-star review. Said, present for wife ruined. Oh. And here's what I'm going to tell this reviewer. It was ruined when your present for your wife was peanut butter heart from Reese's. He says, package of Valentine's chocolates ruined, was left in the sun by the carrier. Now I have a box of melted chocolate for my wife. Useless, very disappointed, very upset. Again, fingers pointed back at you.
Just go to the store, man. Go to the store. Control the temperature.
Just go to the store. Maybe buy something other than a $1.99 pack of chocolate or $2.99 pack of chocolate. Maybe do better for your wife. All right, you guys, do not forget, next week, our tickets for the live show go on sale. Now, listen, if you're a BFOTS, you're going to get first dibs, but maybe you're not. Maybe you don't have the budget right now to be a BFOTS. Just sign up for our newsletter, Note for the Audio, at knoxandjamie.com/newsletter. The link will be in the show notes. You will get dibs on Tuesday. And then, general public, you can go to knoxandjamie.com/live on Wednesday. All the tickets go live at 10 a.m. Central each of the days. You can sign up some tickets. We would love to see you in Dallas or Chicago this year. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.